Good morning. Today is Thursday, June the 3rd. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Sheriff, with a different outlook on life this morning,
yes.
Billy Onsell.
Thank you, Brian. It's good to be here today.
Yeah.
Yes.
Shift those chairs around and
yeah,
references are gone.
Absolutely, you know.
However, I just realized you are now unimpeded to the door.
Exactly. I can
this may not be the strongest move I've made today.
Very true.
Oh, well, time will tell.
Yes.
If I'm doing a monologue, you'll know I screwed up. All right. Are you ready for our question for this morning?
Yes. Ever wonder why?
That doesn't make any sense at all. Ever wonder why the bureaucratic process, you probably should, is often referred to as red tape?
Jeez.
And you live in that, right?
Yeah, I have no idea, but there is a lot of red tape in government, especially here in California. That is for sure.
The term red tape was made famous in the 1900s by Thomas Carlyle, who charged the English government with red tapism. He was referring to the government's practice in those days of binding official papers in red ribbon. Since the matter having to go through government channels could be slowed down by the tying and untying of stacks of such bound documents, the process became known unaffectionately as going through red tape.
Red tape, bureaucracy, government.
Yes.
Gotta love it. Yes.
Somebody must.
Yes.
Because it's still there.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Boy, there's a ton. Dan Price was referencing it today, too. A ton of broken down RVs and.
Yeah.
What in the world is going on? Is this a migration that's going on? Is it the inability for staff to be able to push these folks on? We saw one in a neighborhood. It was missing two of the four tires on the trailer.
Yeah.
And somebody was living in it, and they had put a sign, do not haul away.
Yeah. Ain't that
it's
nice?
Like, huh?
Right. So we do see that. We do see that there are a lot of people, a lot of transients, a lot of people that are travelers, a lot of people that are buying motorhomes or receiving motorhomes or travel trailers and then parking them on city streets or public right-of-ways, and they are setting up camp. And again, that is illegal. They cannot do that. A lot of cities have municipal codes that prevent camping or parking a vehicle there. But the reality is that, you know, because of recent case law, you know, when someone is homeless, unless the county has a place for them to go or designated parking spot, that they can pretty much go to any public place and camp. And so we are urgently working with the cities and the county to try and designate a camp or a place to where people can go. Now, I'm thankful because we have a place like the Rescue Mission and Betty Chin's and Teen Challenge and some of these places where they can accept these people off of the street. So
but
that
you don't
helps
get RVs
our numbers.
And trailers there.
No, you can't. So someone just can't simply park their vehicle on the street for longer than 72 hours. And also, if it's inoperable on the city street, they have 72 hours or it can be towed. And it can be declared an abandoned vehicle.
So where do those things go?
So what happens is the process, if it's in the county, either the California Highway Patrol or a sheriff's deputy tags the vehicle in place, takes a picture.
That's
then
the yellow tag?
The yellow or orange tag. And then after 72 hours, then if it's not moved, then it goes to the abatement process. And essentially, the registered owner gets notified that it's going to be towed. We notify the tow company, and within 10 days, the vehicle can be removed from that public right-of-way.
So 2 weeks is probably the quickest?
The quickest turnaround, absolutely.
Depending on how long it takes for somebody to notice.
Now,
and to let somebody know.
There are exceptions to that rule, and that is if there's a vehicle that is a hazard abandoned. So if it meets a certain criteria, if it's a hazard, if it's missing tires, missing engines, and those kind of things, hazard to the public, you know, dripping oil, fuel, that kind of thing, we can immediately tow it off of the city street or a public right-of-way.
And where does that go?
That's the thing is the tow companies see this as a loss, right? Tow companies aren't lining up to try and haul away
a
motorhome. They
for this stuff
most of the time it's they used to get paid for scrap, right? But scrap prices, that kind of stuff, it's really difficult nowadays. So it's not too profitable anymore to haul away someone's junk. And oftentimes too, these motorhomes are filled with junk,
garbage,
yeah. That kind of stuff. So it turns into a big dump fee for. for the tow company. So it's a
So the county doesn't have an arrangement with the Waste Management Authority or different options.
We do have arrangements with different tow companies, and not necessarily the garbage.
Pay them $200 a pop to get it out.
So we pay them, they charge us, we pay, and they remove it. Now, some of these things are pretty expensive. So a tow company from, you know, Eureka can go down to Shelter Cove and charge us $2,500 to tow a motorhome out of there all the way to Fortuna where it gets wrecked. So yeah, they can charge us, and, you know, we see that the fund for vehicle abatement does go down because it's very expensive.
It's being used.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Which is a positive thing.
Yeah, but, I mean, it just seems like there's just a ton. You go out to the Samoa Peninsula. You know, I got a lot of complaints this weekend about Samoa, about people camping and parking. There's signs out there right now that says no overnight, you know, camping, no overnight parking. And so our deputies out tagging vehicles, moving people along, and but it still seems
to be
persistent.
Is the North Spit the old South Spit?
It's not. It's not, and it's not going to become the old South Spit. We will not let it get to that point, and so we will keep addressing it and making sure that we stay on it. But, again, homeless and transient issues are from the north border to the south border to the east border. It's everywhere in the county. Everyone has a problem and a story about transients and homeless in their communities, and so it's definitely a problem that's not going away.
Is it expanding?
Yes, I think it is expanding. I think we see, too, mental illness, drug abuse, substance abuse disorders, all those are playing a huge toll with this, you know, homeless population. And we just, you know, we just see this kind of expanding, mushrooming, that kind of stuff. It is literally all over the county right now. So we have to come up with a plan that's going to work that we can also enforce. If we have a homeless camp, if we have a designated camp, then we can start enforcing the no camping ordinances. And that's where the cities and the county have to really get in line. We have to
one location or a multitude?
It has to be accessible. So for different communities, we can have something in the Humboldt Bay area. We can have something in Southern Humboldt, Eastern Humboldt.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. The homeless plan concept is something that I would have thought that there might have been something decades ago put in that would have been maintained and updated and all that kind of stuff. But it sounds like this is something brand new. Are you getting buy-in from everybody? I mean, there's certainly recognition from most quadrants that, okay, we got issues here, but the concept of having
yes
parks,
right,
facilities,
well,
formalizing this thing just runs, you know, counter to a lot of what we had thought was the solution in the past years.
Right. You know, it's simple enforcement's not handling it. We can't do it, especially with the case law that's come down that says we can't enforce camping ordinances when we don't have enough space for homeless people to go. And so the enforcement arm from law enforcement's kind of taken away. So we have to work with government and nonprofits to try and create some space. Now, I think we're seeing a tide shift in our community where, you know, let's say 10 years ago, people would say, no, I would never support a homeless camp. I would never want something there. Why would we set something up? If you build it, they will come, so to speak. I think people are finally realizing that it is not going away. It's
They're
not getting
anyway.
Better. They are here.
Yeah.
They are everywhere in the county. And so let's make a facility. Let's make a space for them. And so where they can go and give us an opportunity to support those people and get them back on their feet, at least the ones that want help.
Now, and how can you cite something like that? I mean, I it's mind-boggling, the concept. I'm sure that the footprint would be far larger than what anybody would really want. But then you've got impacts to the neighborhoods and you're not going to stick them out in the middle of the woods.
Right.
Because, you know, that's probably commercial property anyway.
Right.
Yeah,
not in my backyard, right?
How do you do something like that? Or are you looking at old mill sites and saying, okay, that's your choice?
Right. You know, it is a difficult decision. You know, where do we put something like this? And so I think people are putting their heads together. I think Arcata has a place that they've designated that they want to put a homeless camp in. I believe it's off of Boyd Road. And so they, you know, they're looking at it. It's city-owned property. And, you know, I think they have, you know, the right mentality. I think they're going to partner with Arcata House Partnership, which has a lot of transitional housing. And, you know,
but they can't do it on their own.
They can't do it on their own. So the support from Department of Health and Human Services, the support from the cities, and also from the community. And so I think people do see the value in that. And so I think there's a lot of people that they're shifting the tide. I think, you know, by supporting things like the rescue mission, Brian Hall down at the rescue mission, he's doing a good work every day. And so if you have issues with the homeless, you know, support things like Betty Chin, Arcata House Partnership, Brian Hall, Teen Challenge, those people that are trying to put out in the community, to try and bring people from the street into a congregate setting.
But the homeless
them.
Aren't what we're really referencing,
right?
When it's like you were saying, Johnny Appleseed and some of the others that we just see wandering around town breaking the windows, those aren't homeless folks,
right?
Those are deranged folks.
Well, we're seeing huge mental illness, right? Huge mental illness, and with substance abuse disorders, like I said, and
that's different. That's
you
don't want those folks in these camps.
Well, that's what's going to happen is those people are going to go to those camps. So, you know, there's going to be – I would prefer that these camps be run by a nonprofit like Arcata House Partnership or something like that. They can create their own rules and setup and not have it government affiliated. And so I would definitely prefer that. I think that's probably the right thing to do. But, yeah, it's a difficult thing. I mean, when you think about it right now, the people that really need help – can receive help right now. Department of Health and Human Services has,
if they want it,
has the ability to house people, to has the ability to help people with, you know, different issues in life, whether it's, you know, single parent or, you know, substance abuse issues, counseling, mental health. There's a lot of things that Department of Health and Human Services can offer someone in the community when they're ready. What we're seeing is people on the street who are trapped in their addiction, or off their meds, and they may be self-medicating with methamphetamine or heroin or fentanyl or anything like that, alcohol, and they're not getting any better. And so what we've seen in the past is...
But they're damaging the communities where they're in.
They are. But this is the trickle-down effect of poor state planning, okay, is, again, our county jail was designed to house these people, right? To house these people that have all these issues that commit crimes locally, and we don't have the space in our county jail to house someone who's a constant vandal or a serial thief, and or has been arrested for drunk in public or being under the influence of drugs or causing disturbances. We don't have the room in our jail, so those people get into our jail, they get cited and released with a future court date. And if they have a probation violation, if they miss the court date, then we may hold them for 2 or 3 days. The deal is these people need to be sentenced to 60 to 90 days in jail. They need to dry out and then come up with a plan once they are free from their addictions and stabilized on their medicine. You know, that's the real goal here. And I think, you know, that's where we should be getting to. But the state has to take on their responsibility of housing the serious and violent people instead of our county jail.
What do McGuire and Woods say?
McGuire and Woods, I don't know what they would say. They're not into opening more state prisons. And I think it's a conversation that we need to have with all this.
Around them, not with them.
Right. Well, yes.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Last time we got together, you were talking about the state pushing out some more of the nasty bad guys at the state level, dropping them into the county.
Yep.
Still planned to occur?
Yeah, it's still going on right now. They're looking at different sentencing guidelines that through, I think, Prop 57. They finally worked on some things out. And, you know, if there's some prisoners that go through different programs, they get a certain amount of their sentence reduced. And I mean, again, when anyone goes to state prison anymore, I mean, they really deserve it. Okay, so if you don't understand the current system and what the state law said is that in the past, all felonies that had over 1 year of a sentence went off to state prison. Well, the law changed a couple years ago, and they said, well, no, we're not doing that anymore. Counties are going to house all felons that have less than 3 years of a sentence. So now we have people doing state prison time here locally. You know,
is that 3 years or is that 6 years down to three for good behavior?
No, that's three. That's 3 years.
What kind of crime typically are sentenced to 3 years or less that are felonies?
A lot of the felonies, you know, have a 2 to 3 year first time offense sentence. So the sentencing guidelines here in the state of California, there's usually a low term, midterm, and a high term. Okay, there's three different things that they could be sentenced with, and like robbery. Two, 4, or 8 years, I think is what it is, and is the different offenses, or there are sentences that someone could serve for robbery. And so if someone robs someone and they get the lowest sentence, then they're going to do 2 years.
They're playing basketball on Fifth Street.
Yes. And yeah. So anyway, it creates some complications here. And so, you know, so then anyone that serves beyond 3 years, they do go to state prison.
Formerly,
yeah.
So what is this new thing? Is it going to take it up to 5 years?
So it's still that way. But the fact is that, you know, again, someone gets a 6 or 8 year sentence, and unless they're in a sentence that they have to serve like 85% of it, normally it's going to be half time, and then they can create even, I guess, less time now if they do certain programs in custody. So we're looking at, and then also because of COVID, they're allowing people to get, you know, out 6 to 9 months sooner than normal. So now we're getting people off on parole, you know, half their sentence, and then 6 months off, 6 to 9 months off that. So we're having people here that caused havoc in our community, robbed people, rape, and assaulted people,
yeah,
are going to be back in our community on parole.
You mentioned the virus. Okay, now what? What are we, a week and a half away?
June 15th, yep.
Something like that, when the magic edict says, okay, everything's okie dokie.
Right.
Is that going to allow you to pack the cells a little bit tighter?
So COVID is we're in Congress settings, like a jail, is still subject to, you know, being inundated with COVID. You know, we've offered the vaccine to a lot of the inmates, and a lot of the inmates aren't taking the vaccine. And you know, yeah, we hope to get, you know, 70-75% of the inmates vaccinated, but
well, if it's a way for them not to have a partner,
right? Yeah,
well, I wouldn't.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not that stupid.
Well, we have, you know, again, we have different types of congregate settings there. When we have our normal hard cells, which have one or two people in it, then we have our dormitory areas that have up to 70 inmates, you know, that are in that area. So anyway, what we're doing now is we have a quarantine area. Anyone that's in jail, has to spend 10 days in quarantine unless they've been vaccinated and they test negative, then they can go into general population. So that is something that we're definitely working with. Quarantine was reduced from 14 to 10 days. And so we have started opening things back up. You know, we've let all the departments know that they can book anyone in our county jail now. At first in COVID, you know, we were saying, please only bring the serious and violent felons in there and cite everyone else out because we don't want the exposure. Now everyone gets to come in, and then it's all based upon the severity of the crime, whether or not they stay in custody.
I was going to ask you, you know, it was kind of, I think Maggie may have said something in one of the previous shows that felons are the only ones that are even getting into the system anymore.
It seems that way, unless they are someone that is likelihood to reoccur the same offense. So we do have some of those
like
people.
Like 90%?
Yeah, you know, okay. It can be. So we have some of those things. I understand it, that, you know, we do have some of those people that are on a bad binge or whatnot, and so they're breaking stuff. They're causing those misdemeanor issues throughout the community. The officers and deputies can arrest those people, and we can hold them into custody until arraignment, okay, until they're seeing a judge. And the judge can order them released at that point in time, but I'm going to hold them until they at least see a judge, and then it's going to be on the judge to release them back in the community.
Are the judges prosecuting or allowing some of the prosecution to occur for some of these, or are they more apt to kick these folks out because of some of the pressures that are going on?
Yeah.
Or just they don't, you know, if they've only got so many hours a day, they'd rather spend it doing a felony case than they would a misdemeanor case.
Yeah, it's a good question, because right now the courts have been inundated. You know, we shut down courts for months, didn't hear any cases. Now,
yeah, they got the backlog.
Homicide cases, we got, you know, all these serious felony cases. So the misdemeanor cases are really taking the least priority. So they are getting through. A lot of plea deals are being made to try and kind of clear some of these cases out.
Are those plea deals resulting in lowered criminal activity, or are you seeing the same players more often because they're pleading out and now they're back 2 weeks later?
Yes. So without accountability, you know, people are going to continue to do the same thing over and over again. And that's what we see. We see the same offenders reoffending over and over again.
So it ain't working.
It's not working.
Sorry, I was in Texas last week. It ain't working.
It ain't working.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. What keeps you coming back to work on this stuff? I mean, I think we all sense your frustration. We all have the same levels of frustration. It doesn't seem like there's much traction going on. You're dealing with the same folks over and over and over and not getting support from a lot of the electeds.
Well, it's frustrating because I feel like Sacramento sometimes just doesn't get it, right? And so they want to do something. Well, because they don't see it.
They've got the tents and the homeless camps all over I-5 even.
Right. And they just feel like throwing money at it or, you know, giving people a place to stay in a hotel is going to fix the problem. And it's not going to fix the problem. All it causes is for them to not be seen visibly, but they're still isolated in their substance abuse and their mental illness. And so it's not taking care of the problem. And it's just...
Well, they got to be getting phone calls from the home front, though. All the electeds saying, what is going on? You got to do something.
Right.
Particularly the San Franciscos, the LAs, where these concentrations are just taking over.
What we're seeing right now, too, is lawsuits. So the LA County Sheriff and homeless advocates actually got together and sued the county of LA because they're not addressing the homeless and mental health and the substance abuse issues that they're supposed to. And so the sheriffs and advocates are saying something's got to be fixed here. You have to address this.
So
you can't
just
continue to allow this to happen because people are just, again, trapped in their addiction. And, you know, where's the compassion here on, by allowing people to just stay and languish in this environment, and then also businesses being, you know, victimized every day without accountability, it's just, it's not a good setup for our state. And so,
speaking of not good setups, Magic Day in what, 12?
Yeah. The 15th you're talking about, when everything goes away?
Yeah. Does everything go away?
Well, I hope so. The state hasn't really revealed yet, you know, what it's going to look like. But all indications are that the blueprint's going to go away, which means the restrictions on businesses will go away. And that we believe that the masking requirement, the law, is going to go away as well. So if you want to wear a mask, want to wear a mask, wear a mask. You know, they're going to recommend or mandate that people that aren't vaccinated continue to wear a mask.
Now, I actually read that press release yesterday, earlier this week. It said, we should be in red, but because blah, 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 blah. Whoever the author was, I took really strong exception. It was like, we're being nice guys here, keeping you where we are. We really could crank it down if we wanted to.
Right.
So the state team player, I don't sense
the state The state is recognizing that it's really hospitalizations that they're worried about, and so the matrix or whatnot, you know, our positivity rates, it doesn't really matter anymore to the state. So they're not going to be switching us, you know, until the 15th, because our hospitalizations, just like they've been throughout this pandemic, have been pretty low. So
There's a school of thought that now that the template is in place, whenever anything happens, like maybe colds and flus in December, okay, guys, we're whipping it back and everybody has to wear a mask.
Right.
Do you sense that infrastructure is going to be used again, or is this thing going to be shelved and put away?
So COVID is not going away, Brian, and we've said this the whole time, right? The long game is it's not going away. So my personal opinion is
COVID,
we have to learn.
Or pick another thing. It doesn't have to be a virus.
We have to learn to live with this. We have to learn to live with the pandemic, learn to live with the sicknesses and illnesses, and then do what's best for our communities, right? Protect ourselves, protect others. You know it, and just be reasonable here.
Have you seen an increase in assaults?
We have seen violent crime steadily going up. Absolutely, we are seeing it here.
People going after other people because they're
frustrated.
Not wearing a mask.
Well, I don't know about
that kind of stuff.
No, not necessarily. That was early on. I think people are pretty stabilized now to, you know, the people wearing a mask, not wearing a mask, and so we don't see it. But we just see general violence in the community is going up. And it is something that we are definitely concerned about.
Doing anything about it?
Well, we like to get more deputies on the street. We like to hold people accountable and keep them in jail. But that's going to be up to
the judges. You got space in the jail, though?
We do have space in the jail. We have about 300 inmates. We have 417 cap. And obviously, it creates more issues when there's a higher population. But
sure.
But it's definitely something we want to go to.
So why not? Going back to our initial with some of the mentally challenged, I guess, why not be able to utilize the facility that's there and the space that's there, even if it's just one cell for one person, to be able to get them to the point where they can make rational decisions?
So we do. So inside our correctional facility, we have mental health. We have a jail-based competency treatment center. We have a lot of opportunities for someone to get help when they're in custody. And so that is happening right now.
For those that are arrested for whatever
they're
doing.
Yes, for those who are in custody.
Not for those that need it also.
Right.
Yeah.
Crime.
Man, just think the seventh floor. Reference to the break, folks. You didn't miss anything. Thanks for coming by.
Bye-bye.
See everybody tomorrow.